What's going on, Clips fans?
Whew.
Monday Clippers.
Fifth seed Mondays, baby.
How's it going? I'm William, the opinion Updike.
I'm positive Chuck Mockler.
Yeah, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you didn't know.
Woo.
We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content.
Yep.
Make sure to check us out on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, maybe a rating. You know, it helps us out.
We'll take it.
Also, if you're looking for an exciting new way to listen to podcasts, as we all are, check out the Himalaya app.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Also, we got a Tom's Urban event coming up.
Oh, big time.
April 7th for the away game against the Golden State Warriors. Come through. Drink some beers. You can pour your own on the U-Pour floor, which is pretty dope.
Yeah.
Will and I are usually at Tom's Urban after every game that we have press credentials to.
Oh, yeah. It's good to unwind.
Good time. Today for you, we have a recap of the kind of stressful weekend games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we got a recap of the close win over the... over the Cavs, came down to a kind of a last-minute inbounds possession.
That we messed up, kind of.
We did, yeah. We didn't actually defend this one that well. It was more on them to lose than it was us to win.
Yes.
And then we had a solid win in New York.
Yeah,
there were moments where it was got a little close for comfort,
touch
perhaps.
And go, for sure.
But pretty handedly won, but we'll be breaking that one down. And then today is Monday, which means our regular Monday segment, The Freshies.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, all that and more coming up right about now.
So, on Friday, we won 110-108.
Very, very
close
game.
Over the Cavs. This would have really sucked to lose.
This one would have been a huge bummer. Yeah.
They came
out ready to play.
So, this is what teams have been doing against us. This is what, quote-unquote, lesser teams have been doing against us. And that's just, the Bulls did it against us. That's just coming out and punching us in the mouth early. And we can't. We seem to react just kind of by going on our heels.
Well,
they won the first quarter 40-25.
Yeah. And I wouldn't describe this team as necessarily a slow first quarter team.
The Clippers?
Yeah.
No.
I feel like generally we come out pretty well, but it is definitely in these games where we're playing against a below 500 Eastern Conference opponent.
Yeah.
That we see this kind of happen time and time again where. The other team just matches like what the Clippers do well, playing with that sort of intensity.
For sure.
Playing hard defense, really working hard for any loose ball or anything. And
we kind of reel from it.
Yeah, we do. It's weird because it's like...
It's our team.
It is our team. it just, once again, reminds me of like the pointing Spider-Man meme.
Oh, yeah,
it's like
exactly.
The other team comes out like that, and we're like, what?
Yeah, wait, oh, no, what are you doing? some quick stats for you guys. Gallo led all scores in this game with 27 points. Shea had 16. Landry Shamet put up 13-7, which was nice. Lou had 15 and 6 assists. For the Cavs, K-Love led the way with 22-8. Colin Sexton had a pretty impressive 20 points, as did Jordan Clarkson, who almost won them the game. And then Larry forgot about Nance, put up 14-9 off the bench.
So I just have an asterisk, which no wins have asterisks. I'll just let you know that.
That's very true.
If they design this inbounds play and it goes to Sexton instead of Clarkson, do you think that he's able to knock down that three?
No.
Okay.
I just don't think he is.
I mean, he's shooting like 42%.
I know. I just don't think he's ready for the big moment like that.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. I mean,
yes.
That's probably why it didn't go to him.
So this game came down to an inbounds play.
Yeah, it did.
There was some actually, we'll get into some more team stats in a sec, but what really freaked me out about this game was crunch time free throws.
Yeah, so overall, I mean, we did pretty well on free throws.
Yes.
87%.
We went to the line more than they did, which was good.
Yeah.
But so, with 13 seconds left, mm-hmm. Shamet split a pair of free throws.
Okay.
Which, you know, you'd like to see both of those go in. And then with 6 seconds left, Beverly hit one of two free throws to make the lead 2 points, which was the play right before Clarkson missed the buzzer beater.
Yeah.
That kind of freaks me out. I just don't want us to be rattled in crunch time free throw. That's just not a trend you want to see happen twice in the last 15 seconds of a game.
I do agree with that. I mean, we still went 9 of 11 on the quarter.
Yeah. Great.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it does mean... It does mean a little bit more in those crunch time minutes to be able to mm-hmm. knock those down.
Especially from Shamet.
I don't know. It's one of those things where like sometimes shots don't fall. And that
True.
Just is what it is. And he still was able to get to the line 4 times in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, like, that was clutch. Yeah, and so the last play was a Cavs inbound that we actually defended wrong. Doc said after the game, we were supposed to foul on that play, but didn't. And we just got lucky they missed the shot. I thought it went in watching it. It looked like it was about to
go in. I thought it was going to go in. Yeah.
It was not good.
No.
Our three-point shooting was abysmal in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Really struggled. Finished shooting 23%. Just 23% on the night. The bench did not make a single three.
That's unbelievable.
0% on that one. And then the starters went for 35%.
For 35%.
Which isn't bad. 35% is
yeah. Yeah, so like Lou went 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. Gallo went 1 of 4. Beverly, 2 of 7. I know he's been shooting great, but 7 three-pointers is a little steep for me to see from Beverly.
I'd like to see him put up 7.
7? Whew. And then Shamet went 2 of 5. It is kind of comforting we can only make 6 and win, but still not going to happen against playoff teams.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I mean, still just volume-wise, I think not enough threes.
Yeah.
And I get kind of hedging your bets when it's not really happening, but I don't know. I just don't feel like that was... I mean, we only took 6 attempts in the fourth.
Yeah.
And I feel like that could have, you know, with our percentage, they shot the ball pretty well from three. They finished with 38%.
Yeah.
And that's like right around where they've been shooting for this last stretch of games.
Which has been like really efficient.
And so like I get not wanting to take threes if they're not falling, but I just also don't believe in that. I think like sometimes
because that goes against the logic of just keep shooting.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. It totally goes against that logic. I think that it's worse to try and like get in your head and be like, oh, we haven't been making threes, so maybe we shouldn't take so many.
For sure.
No, I think that that's foolish.
It was weird. Our bench is kind of what was our undoing in this game.
Which yeah.
I don't think either of us expected. They got outscored 48-39, out-rebounded 23-19, 8 turnovers to their 4.
Yeah.
As we said, 0% from 3. I mean, I'm happy that what I have to assume is our worst bench performance of the season happened against the Cavs.
Yeah, for sure.
K-Love kind of ate Gallo's lunch on offense.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, kind of surprising.
It was not what I expected.
No, Gallo guarded him for 83% of their offensive possessions. Love shot 7 for 11.
Yeah.
Gallo answered back going 6 of 9 and doing his best to kind of mitigate that defensive play or offensive play, but just kind of concerning.
Yeah, very concerning.
Not many guys play like K-Love, though, so maybe it was just one of those weird matchup situations.
Yeah, I just thought that this would have favored Gallo, as I said in the game preview. Just with how his effort has been there,
yeah.
I wouldn't expect Love to...
Go 7 for 11.
Yeah, definitely. Gallo still, though, had like the second highest plus-minus of the night.
Oh, yeah.
So he was able to mitigate any sort of thing that was kind of happening there.
Oh, he's our best player.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we got a lot of great guys, but I think that Gallo is the number one.
Yeah. David Nwaba, excuse me if I'm pronouncing that wrong, shut down Lou Williams.
Yeah.
Held him to 2 of 6 shooting. I don't care who you are. That's impressive.
Yeah. How much of that was David and how much of that was Lou, though?
Hey, man, 2 of 6.
That's fair.
Doesn't matter by bus or by train. Still got there. he's a little bigger than Lou. That helped, but I don't know. It's kind of impressive. Zubats only had 17 minutes in this game.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little surprising considering he led the team with boards with 8.
Led the team with boards. Finished 100%. Or, I mean, like, he only had 2 field goal attempts,
yeah.
But, you know, he was playing pretty efficiently. I don't really know.
Doc relying on Trez's game because of familiarity and because Trez has been on kind of a chair offensively?
100%.
It's got to be that.
100%. And sometimes, we'll talk about this a little bit more in the New York game, but sometimes I like Ivica a lot, but he's not locked in. I find like that he, you know, we have this big presence down low, and I still feel like we're just as vulnerable to like backdoor cuts and to some kind of easy buckets because
I would agree with that.
He's either not watching the way the play is going, or he's just not in the right spot.
Yeah.
And I think that you take the risk running a smaller guy at the 5 if you kind of know what you're going to get. Yeah.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. Still is adjusting to the team. Still fairly new.
Yeah, for sure.
But
oh, I mean, yeah, it'll come. You know,
from.
He's a fourth-year player. Like,
yeah.
I feel like, I honestly feel that center is one of those positions that, like, I do think that you can come out and like a little bit carve a name for yourself based on your sole athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
I think centers only get better with age. I mean, obviously the explosiveness of their game like denigrates,
yeah.
but
knowledge.
I just think getting that knowledge is really important.
So it's like
I
goalie in soccer.
Yes. I think that it's like in that realm, or at least to me.
Yeah. I mean, can't argue with that. We're going to get into that next game coming up right after this. But first, we mentioned at the top of the pod, but you guys got to go to Tom's Urban.
Any day.
Right next to Staples Center.
Yeah.
Great pre- and post-game spot. Currently, NCAA basketball tournament's happening there.
Uh-huh.
Go check that out.
Yeah.
Don't go to the games. Don't give the NCAA your money. We've been there a couple times. Love the Chos.
Oh, yeah.
Love
they've
the
got
mac and cheese.
They've got good food there.
Perfect amount of cheese on the Chos. It's not too soggy at the bottom.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm concerned about.
That's fair.
But yeah, check it out. Go see some potential Clippers second-round picks playing in that tourney.
Yeah.
Also tell that smart speaker to play the dang Lockdown Podcast Clippers podcast.
Yeah, while you're at Tom's Urban.
Yeah, get it all going. So we ended up beating the Knicks at the 9 a.m. tip-off, if you were watching in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I was groggy for this game.
I missed it.
The first half
I'm just going to be honest with you. I missed it.
The first half of this game, I was like, what am I doing right now? And I was like, oh, I'm watching the Clippers play. I thought I was watching like a replay of a game because it was so early. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. It's very bizarre.
But we won 124-113.
Yeah, pretty well-rounded win. We outscored the Knicks every single quarter except for the second, and it was still really close. I think it was 31-35.
So. It was one of those games where, late in the game at one point, the Knicks went on a 10-2 run. They took the lead by a point,
mm-hmm.
but it never really felt truly lost.
No, we led through this whole game.
Not how the Cavs game felt.
Yeah.
The Cavs game was like, dude, we might lose this game.
But yeah, the next game was like, that crowd was really into it too, I thought, in Cleveland, which we didn't touch on in the last part. But that
I mentioned
it.
There's not a whole
in.
Lot going on in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. but Lou Will really showed out for this one. He led all scorers with 29, 3, and 7. With those 7 assists, he only had 2 turnovers. And he went 5 of 7 from deep, kind of making up for the previous performance.
The broadcast was talking about his distribution, and I feel like that's getting a lot more shine lately, which is great, because that's the most underrated part of his game.
Yeah, definitely. Gallo added 26, 8-1.
Oh, man. This was a vintage veteran Gallo performance.
Oh, yeah. So he shot in the low 30% range.
Yeah.
But he got to the line 14 times, and the team as a whole got to the line 37 times. So he was definitely a huge factor in that, over a third.
I checked into the stats. At one point, he was like, I think he was at like 16% from three or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you look down, he had 25 points.
Yeah. Kept shooting. Pat had an interesting game. He put up 12, 3, and 2, which is like, it's a good stat line for him. I think it's maybe not the most impressive stat line, but he had the highest plus minus of any starter. He was plus 10 on the night. Really great there. Zoo had a double-double.
Oh, yeah.
He finished with 10, 10, and 1, and he still played under 20 minutes in this game.
He was also getting absolutely dominated by DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit more, and it'll bleed over into the freshies as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like...
Pull up on your block, then I bleed.
He had no answer.
No one
for DeAndre.
It was unbelievable.
No, and DeAndre, I guess, hates the Clippers now. I don't know. It's like the only time he plays hard
DeAndre
is when he plays the Clippers.
Had so much time to grab offensive rebounds that he would do this thing where he would jump, grab the ball in midair, and then kind of style out his rebound. And I was infuriated by it. I was watching it by myself in my apartment. And I was like yelling. I was like, someone needs to disrupt that or like make him not feel so comfortable grabbing offensive boards that he can like put some sauce on it.
Yeah, definitely.
It was not good to see. Anyway, sorry.
Shea had like a pretty poor shooting night. He went 3 of 10. But he finished with 10, 2, and 8 with only a single turnover. And this is honestly everything I've wanted from Shea.
His distribution has been fantastic the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And he had a, I want to say game ceiling steal, but the Knicks were making a push with like around less than a minute left, and Shea had a huge steal to definitely help kind of ice the game, which was good.
Definitely. And Landry, we'll probably be talking about this more in the freshies
as yeah.
well.
I got the whole diagnosis.
But he got hurt. He went just 1 of 5, finished with 3 points. Yeah.
That was tough.
That was tough. I think that...
He has an ankle impingement.
Yeah. I think had the injury not happened, he would have bounced back from this slump.
Yeah.
He's
a slump buster.
Yeah. Definite slump buster. We've just seen it from him every single time, too. Like, when he has a cold shooting start, I just feel like he generally turns it around.
Yeah.
And for the Knicks, Moutier had a great night.
He looked great.
He finished with 26-6-7. DeAndre, 20-13-4. Unstoppable.
He was throwing dimes too. I was so mad by DeAndre. He played so well.
Another ankle injury. Kevin Knox. So he shot a three and came down weird. Rolled.
So what happened is he shot a three and then he kind of kicked his leg out. And I know when you say kicked leg out, it has like kind of a bad connotation or something. I think it was just his form. His leg came out as he was landing. Like he wasn't kicking out at Beverly or anything like that.
Yeah.
He just shot it and something. His leg kicked out and he came down. On Patrick Beverly.
He just came down on it, yeah.
Yeah, Beverly wasn't in a restricted... Beverly, like, wasn't within his space. Like, there was no step in or anything like that, like Pachulia did to Kawhi or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was just an unfortunate, weird follow-through thing. Like,
yeah.
Some people were kind of going at Bev about it, but it was like, he was closing out, and it was a respectful distance.
I agree. Yeah, I didn't see Pat as really a factor in this.
No.
I mean, I might be biased, but... it just seemed more of like the way he landed was just weird.
I just know that I saw a Knicks blog retweet it saying there wasn't anything bad by Pat. And I was like, well, if a Knicks blog, I mean,
yeah,
go with them.
But yeah, so our starters got outscored by 20 points in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Which is horrifying.
All pretty much because of DeAndre.
Yeah. But the bench scored a sweet 63 points to their bench's 32 points. Also, how are these New York... Like, I don't get how the Knicks starters are outscoring our guys by 20 points. That makes...
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand.
At one point, we had 25 bench points to their two. Which was pretty incredible.
And we started this game, like, on an 8-0 run. I don't know. There was a lot of good stuff. And then I just... That... When I looked at that stat, it was baffling to me.
Yeah.
But the... Lou and Harrell obviously led the bench. Lou had 29. Harrell had 24, 4-1. Yeah. I don't know. We kept it close in a lot of, like, stat areas. But we lost points in the paint, 40-44, and total rebounds, 42-44.
We lost the two things that I think we both kind of touched on Friday of, like,
yeah.
They have two really good big guys.
Yeah.
Mr. Robinson had a couple blocks. He was altering a bunch of shots. It's just like, if you have an elite big guy, for whatever reason, our defensive schemes can't defend them.
Well, yeah.
DeAndre Jordan. It's not like...
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. And then he also, like, he had a bunch of blocks, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was doing whatever. It was like watching Lopez when we played the Bulls that first half. It was just, like, anything he wanted, he got. He was, like, I think at one point he threw, like, a no-look pass. He was playing with a confidence that I'm sure Knicks fans would have wanted to see as soon as he got on the team, not just against the Clippers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've done some weird stuff.
He gets DNPs, all that weird shit.
Yeah.
No, it was a pretty frustrating game stat-wise.
Definitely. We did a really good job controlling the ball, though. I was pretty impressed. Only 9 total turnovers.
Damn.
To their 15. We didn't really punish them that much, though, on turnovers.
What frustrated me. I was like, we only had 9 turnovers and we're tied with the Knicks.
Yeah. And they won the fast break. We only scored 8 points to their 12. So, yeah, we didn't really make them hurt in some of those categories. I don't know. It surprises me. I guess that the score was as close as it was.
Yeah.
Just given their kind of sloppy play. Just given, man, like, no disrespect, but just given the Knicks.
The Knicks. Yeah, so late in the fourth, after that 10-2 run they had, it was nice. Gallo, Lou, and Bev just kind of took over.
Yeah.
They were like, we're done with this now. We're deciding to play. Matt Chong had a really great tweet. Shout out to @MattChong. He was like, this seems like a great game to watch the last 7 minutes of. Which that perfectly encapsulates what the game was like.
Yeah.
I mean, Gallo getting to the line, we've seen it all this whole year. I watched it a bunch on Sunday morning, and it's like, it's so nice to see them actually doing this more consistently now when shots aren't falling.
Yeah.
I felt like earlier in the season, our guys were kind of like, well, we can shoot it out, which is a mentality you want, but at some point, you're just not getting a return.
Mm-hmm.
And Gallo knew that and was like, all right, I'm just going to keep getting to the line.
Yeah.
And I'm happy we got the win. I kind of want to forget this weekend happened.
It was rough. It wasn't rough, but it was less than
It was almost game. Really rough.
It was
if
less
we would
than
have
ideal.
Gone 500, this would have been a failure of a weekend.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Because we have a chance to absolutely win the game on the game tomorrow against the Timberwolves. So, you know, going 4-0 on this road trip is going to be help us. I mean, we're solely in control of the fifth seed right now.
Yeah.
Which
you think that we go 4-0 on this On this road trip?
No, I'm saying if we do go 4-0.
Oh, yeah.
I think we go 3-1.
I think we go 3-1. I think we might end up dropping that Bucks game.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. The Bucks are great.
But who knows? I mean, we have beat them this year.
Yeah.
Could be.
Could be. Anything else you want to say about this game?
Nah, I just want to forget about both of these.
Both these games, I'm like, let's just move on. Yeah. Coming up after this break, we got the freshies. We got a couple of things on there for you. But first, MLB season is underway almost. Go Dodgers. And Locked On MLB is here. They got every team.
About time.
Got every damn straight.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, check out Locked On MLB. They're absolutely crushing on the rankings right now. If you're a Dodgers fan, what's up? Salute.
Or an SEO fan.
Or an SEO fan, you know. Yeah, check it out. That again, that is Locked On MLB.
All right, so it's time for the freshies.
Can we talk about the Shamet injury?
Fresh. Yeah.
All right, so first off, I want to get into the Shamet injury. What do we know? We know that he has an ankle impingement. I know what you're asking. Dr. Chuck, what the hell's an ankle impingement?
What is an ankle impingement?
And I'm going to say, you watch your mouth in my practice. An ankle impingement is a condition where an individual experiences pain at the front of the ankle due to compression of the bony or soft tissue structures during activities that involve maximal ankle dorsiflexion motion.
Yikes.
Jumping.
Yeah.
Something that involves that. So this is a thing, I think most people have actually had this. Have you ever had a pair of basketball shoes or running shoes that are too tight and you tie them and that spot right kind of on the top of your ankle hurts where the laces are?
Yeah.
Based on my 15 years of professional medical experience, I think that's what this is, but to the nth degree because he's an NBA player and it's probably a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Doc thinks it's going to be just a couple games. With how this organization handles their injury reports, we really have no idea.
We'll see. We'll know 60 games from now.
But I think we can confidently say as of 1:05 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Monday, March 25th?
25th.
It doesn't seem that big of a deal.
Yeah.
It seems like a couple of games. I'm worried, but it seems just like a couple of games.
I think it's a big deal. Not for the longevity of his career or anything, but just for where we are in the season and how important every single win is. I think that it is a big deal. I think that if we're missing him for like a 4-game stretch, I mean, that's a lot of offense out of our starting lineup.
It is, but I'm fine with him missing these next 2 games.
Uh-huh.
Minnesota shut down a bunch of guys. I think we can take them without Landry. The Bucks, not a scheduled loss, but a team that's so good that, okay, a loss is a loss.
Yeah.
And then we have a pretty easy schedule, except for Warriors, Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like, let's just shut them down for a minute.
Oh, you think we should shut them down for more games?
Yeah.
He's a young man. I think that he should just bounce back.
I hope he does.
But I think, yeah, I think shutting him down for like 4 games or more, I mean, it I don't want to say catastrophic.
It's not catastrophic.
But it would not be great.
It would not be great. I mean, hey, we beat the Knicks without him.
I mean, we still had him for 3/4 of a game.
Yeah, he only put up 3 points. Are we better without Landry Shamet? No, I'm just kidding. Please don't take that. But I'm fine with him taking his time to come back.
All right.
If we can get the win, so how about this? If we get the win over the Timberwolves,
mm-hmm.
which puts us even more control of the fifth spot, I'm fine. I think we can keep the fifth if we shut him down for like 4 more games.
Okay.
That's my take right now, because we go Wolves, Bucks.
We'll keep the fifth spot and if we shut him down for 4 more games.
So the games he would miss are Wolves, Bucks, Cavs, Grizzlies.
Okay.
After that, we have Rockets, Lakers, Warriors, Jazz.
Yeah.
So, you know, we drop that one to the Bucks. We probably win against the Cavs and the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves. I'm not mad at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lakers game, maybe also keep him shut down for that. Who cares about that game?
I feel like they are going to.
Who?
The Lakers.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, who cares?
I don't want to see him shut down for hopefully more than like the rest of this road game stretch.
Yeah, I mean, the ideal situation is he's just shut down for this road trip.
Yeah, and also part of this, I will admit, is like just wholeheartedly vain on my part. We have the best... We have the best like last 10 record of any team in the Western Conference.
Oh, so you're saying you want to put a stamp on it.
We have the longest win streak of any team in the Western Conference. And I don't want to see that go away.
That's
so
fair.
So I mean, he should absolutely be sat for the amount of time that he needs. But at the same time, he's a young man. He should bounce back.
You're the coach who's like, Coach, can you tell us the decision about playing that player who had that clear injury for these last 10 games? And you're like, I just want to put our mark on this season.
Have you seen that record?
You're talking these last 10 games? So what's your Zubats freshies take?
I just want to see him, like, go at dudes harder. We've seen it sometimes where... he's contesting everything and he's super locked in.
That game against Ayton.
Yeah. And I think that he does that when it's working for him.
Okay.
I think that if it doesn't work for him a couple of times, and he maybe makes some mistakes on offense, he's like kind of checked out.
Okay.
And he's certainly not the only big man to do this. We had one for a long time. You might have heard of him. but he had the worst plus minus of all the starters against the Knicks. And he got cooked by DeAndre
Jordan.
He got
destroyed.
Which, like,
part of it could just be veteran savviness versus a young guy.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose. We did talk about that. It's definitely possible. I'm just, at this point, are we worried that he's going to be a liability in the playoffs?
I think for maybe the standard at which we are used to at center, which is Marcin Gortat, I think he's going to be better than that.
Yeah, but that's
I just
not,
don't think
I just don't know that that's saying enough. And I like Zoo. I don't want to say anything wrong, but I just think that he could end up being an easy target in the playoffs.
I think so too, but I think we just expect him to kind of be a net 500 in terms of offense and defense. I don't think we're expecting him to. He's not a focal point or anything like that. So I think he's going to be I guess defensively, other than maybe Gallo, he's going to be a liability, but. I don't know. The alternative is starting Trez.
Yeah.
Which is bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's my concern, is that if Zoo is getting played off the floor, that really, honestly, I feel like that kind of neutralizes our bench, because you have to have Trez playing against the starters, which isn't going to have him play that well. And then... he can only play so many minutes. I don't know if you know this, but there's only a finite amount of minutes.
He can't play the whole game.
That he can play in a game, and I think that if Zoo is getting played off the floor, which, I mean, just look at some of these other teams that we could be looking at. I mean, the Nuggets, Jokic could absolutely go off on Zubats.
But he could go off on anyone, too. So that's like an elite, elite guy.
Capella, could dominate Zubats.
Yeah, I like that matchup better because their body types and game types are similar.
Steven Adams would absolutely destroy.
Yeah, but again, that's another guy who can destroy anybody.
Yeah, I suppose that's
the centers in the Western Conference are good as hell.
Yeah,
is the thing that I mean. It sucks. They might be maybe a little better playoff wise in the East, but yeah, I think I kind of agree. He might be a liability. I don't think it negates our bench too much though. Because Lou is still such an outlier.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that it completely negates our bench, but if Trez has to... What I'm saying is just if Trez has to put in more minutes against starting centers, that does. That does hobble our bench a little bit.
How many minutes a game do you want to see Trez in the playoffs?
35 plus.
Damn. Okay.
I just think that we're going to need it.
Yeah.
But those minutes, once again, if he's playing 35 minutes plus, he's going to be playing a lot of time against starters.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Any minutes that Zoo can keep us in the game and effectively, stay on the floor,
yeah,
is going to be so necessary.
And I think Landry coming back is going to help Zoo too, because that's another shooter to at least take some.
It gives a lot.
Away.
It gives more space.
Yeah,
for sure.
And hopefully his fingers are healing up.
Yeah,
because they're still disintegrated.
I'm not really sure.
Anything else fresh you want to talk about? We got one more minute on here.
You want to talk about the Wilson Chandler thing?
Oh yeah, people really seem to be against Wilson Chandler on Clippers Twitter.
I'm
kind of trending towards their mindset.
I'm bummed.
Yeah, I guess I'm not mad. I'm more kind of bummed. I want him to be better.
Me too. I know that he's just coming back from an injury, but it seems it. He seems a little bit tentative.
It also feels like he always gets two really quick fouls.
Yeah.
He'll just jab his hand into where the ball is.
That's kind of all that whole
Yeah. They were not particularly good this weekend.
No, Green had a pretty good game.
Yeah, He had one good game.
Yeah, he had one. Yeah. I mean, one or two. That's not bad. You batting 500, baby.
I'm just mad at this weekend, even though I got the wins. I'm spoiled now.
I would like to see him. I would like to see him improve. I would like to see him just knocking down some of those shots because he does get some really good looks.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll see.
I think that he's just still, honestly, in the recovery process.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that about wraps up for us, you guys. Tomorrow, we're going to be previewing the game against the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be live streaming on Twitter at Locked On Clips for that game. So get some questions ready.
Definitely.
I'll be prepping you guys before we go on there. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening.